Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of John. John chapter 5, we're looking today at the last section of John chapter 5 on our journey through the book of John. We're looking this morning at verses 31 through 47, which is Jesus' defense of the fact that he was who he said he was. The Pharisees have accused him of being basically an imposter. In other passages, we know that they even accuse him of doing his works through the power of the devil and not through the power of God. And Jesus says, I'll defend myself. And he gives four witnesses to the fact that he was a credible Messiah. John chapter 5, verses 31 through 47. Jesus said, if I testify about myself, my testimony is not valid. There is another who testifies about me, and I know that the testimony he gives about me is valid. You have sent messengers to John, and he has testified to the truth. I don't receive man's testimony, but I say these things so that you may be saved. John was a burning and shining lamp, and for a time you were willing to enjoy his light. But I have a greater testimony than John's because of the works the Father has given me to accomplish. These very works I am doing testify about me that the Father has sent me. And the Father who has sent me has himself testified about me. You have not heard his voice at any time, and you haven't seen his form. You don't have his word living in you because you don't believe the one he sent. You pore over the scriptures because you think you have eternal life in them. Yet they testify about me. And you are not willing to come to me that you might have life. I do not accept glory from men. But I know you that you have no love for God within you. I have come in my Father's name, yet you do not accept me. If someone else comes in his own name, you'll accept him. How can you believe? While accepting glory from one another, you don't seek the glory that comes from the only God. Do you think that I will accuse you to the Father? Your accuser is Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, because he wrote about me. But if you don't believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Let's pray. Father, I praise you that Jesus Christ came into the world and spoke and said, I am God, and not only am I God, but I am able to defend the claims that I make because of the criterion that we've just read. Father, help us this morning to look in our own hearts and ask the question, on what criterion do we base the claims that we make? In Jesus' name, amen. I want to illustrate for you this morning the claims that Jesus made in his defense of the fact that he was who he said he was.
Put your hand on the Bible and raise your right hand. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So I help you, God.
I swear. Please be seated. Please state for the court your full name and your middle name.
Joshua Allen Rhodes.
Joshua Allen Rhodes. You're in court today because you've been accused of being an imposter to the Christian faith. The charges against you are as follows. Number one, you helped a sick person on the Sabbath. Second, you claim to be a child of God. Third, you claim to do God's will. Fourth, you speak of religious principles as one with authority, and you say that you do the things you do in the name of God. And lastly, you've been overheard to say that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. Joshua Allen Rhodes, in response to the charges that you are an imposter in the Christian faith, how do you plead?
Your Honor, on the charges that I'm an imposter of the Christian faith, I plead not guilty.
It is the opinion of this court and those who accuse you that you are indeed an imposter. The means necessary to acquit you of this charge and to remove the warrant that has been issued for your arrest is for you to defend yourself based on the following four criterion. The first criterion is, what do others say about you? The second criterion is, what do your works say about you to back up your claims? The third criterion is, what does your father say about you? And lastly, what do the Scriptures say about the things that you do? Do you understand the criterion that have just been explained to you?
Yes, Your Honor, I understand.
Okay. Now, on the first charge, is there anyone here who will stand up in defense of the fact that you are indeed a Christian? Well, the information just received is insufficient to prove criterion number one beyond a reasonable doubt. On criterion number one, you fail. The second criterion is regarding your works. Are you able to defend your claims based on the works that you have performed in the Christian faith, which would free you from this indictment?
Your Honor, I am unable to conclusively prove to you that I'm not an imposter of the Christian faith. But the Bible does say that a Christian is known by their faith in Jesus Christ and not by their works. However, the Bible says that if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you will produce a spirit of wanting to serve Him and wanting to honor Him. Therefore, I say with all honesty that I have surrendered my life to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I love to read His Word, and I love to talk to my Heavenly Father. And the salvation that I have received is not based on anything that I have done. It's based solely on what Christ has done for me. And so the things that I do to honor Christ are a result, not a cause.
On the second criterion, then, it appears that you pass. The third criterion used to evaluate your claims is, what does your father say about you? Is he here today and able to speak on your behalf?
Your Honor, my father is unable to be here today to speak on my behalf. But if he were, he definitely had plenty of evidence to validate my claims.
Well, on the third criterion then, the evidence is inconclusive and you fail. The last criterion is, what do the Scriptures say? Are you able to defend your claims as a Christian from the Scriptures?
Well, the Bible says...
A bailiff, please bring me the book. It's authentic. You may proceed.
The Bible says that a Christian is a person who has taken responsibility of their own sin. The person that had, you know, Jesus Christ came to earth and died for my sin, and He rose again 3 days later. The Bible says that if I confess my sins and I believe in my heart that Jesus is rose again, I shall be saved. I shall receive eternal life. And I've taken personal responsibility. I have confessed my sins. I've repented from my sins. And now it is my heart's desire to live and follow the commands of my Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that I'm a new creation. And with that new creation comes God's Holy Spirit working out a new life from inside out. The great missionary, the Apostle Paul, said these words: if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Christ, and confessing that... If Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that He has risen from God has raised Him again, and believe in your heart that He's done this, you shall be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified or made right with God, and it's with your mouth you confess. And according to what the Bible says, I've done these things, and so it validates that I am a follower.
Yes, I see that these things do validate your claims. On the fourth criterion, then, of the Scriptures, you pass. Based on your responses to the predetermined criterion, then, you have two pass and two fail. Bailiff, is my math correct?
Yes, Your Honor. 2 + 2 = 4.
Then it is the decision of this court that the charges against you will remain pending.
This session of court in the city of Rochester and the county of Olmsted is now closed. Defendant, you may return to your seat.
The principles that we just looked at to accuse Joshua Allen Rhodes are the very things that Jesus used to defend himself in John chapter 5. The Pharisees said, because you healed someone on the Sabbath, you couldn't possibly be a Christian because that's a bad thing to do. And Jesus healed someone, told him to pick up his bed and walk. The Pharisees says that the works that you do them with the power of Satan, not the power of God. And Jesus claimed that God was his Father and that he was equal to him. The Pharisees who pored over the Scriptures, the Bible tells us, daily and memorized them incessantly, said, you cannot be the Christ that the Bible says is coming. And Jesus said, I am. And Jesus also said that John the Baptist or those around him proclaimed him to be who he said he was. Jesus was told that he was an imposter. And these four responses from John chapter 5 are his witness to the claims that he made. Number one, John the Baptist. John the Baptist. In the chapter 5 of John, the Bible says that I don't receive man's testimony, but John was a burning and a shining light. And John probably, when he first came, was probably widely accepted. Matter of fact, we read in other parts of Scripture that the Pharisees came out to him and talked to him and asked him what they could do. And John just kind of thrashed them when they came out. They didn't like him anymore. Matter of fact, the Scripture says that you enjoyed his light for a while. Isn't it true that the Pharisees went to him and heard the things that he said and probably thought that this was pretty cool, that he might be the next prophet? But when they heard the message that he spoke, suddenly they didn't like it anymore and they disowned him. In other parts of the Scripture, in the New Testament, Jesus was being quizzed by the Jewish leaders and he said, well, let me ask you a question. Was the Baptist of John, was that from heaven or was that from below? And they were afraid to answer because they knew that people really loved John, but they didn't like him because of what he said. John the Baptist, the other prophets around at the time, which was John the Baptist, his claim was that Jesus Christ was the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. John the Baptist came and he preached repentance. At one time, those who came to listen to him said, what must I do? And John said, you must repent. And if you're a soldier, you do this. And if you're another person, you do this. And here's the things that you must do to repent and to prove that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist was a claim to Jesus Christ. Jesus also said that his works proclaimed that he was indeed who he said he was. I have a greater testimony than John's, Jesus said, because of the works the Father has given me to accomplish. And these very works I am doing testify about me that the Father has sent me. The works of Jesus were obvious. Nicodemus in chapter 3, he heard of the works of God, didn't he? He came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God because no one can do the things you do except God be with them. The kind of things that Jesus did, the only possible explanation was that God was somehow involved. I long for us to see things like that happening in the church today. The only possible explanation for what's happening is that God's involved. When someone kicks a very difficult addiction or comes to Christ from a lifestyle of sin and rebellion, these are the kinds of things that the only explanation for this change in life is the involvement of Jesus Christ, the involvement of God in the life of a person. The lame man who was just healed in the temple that got them all upset at Jesus, he saw the works of God. Not many people were walking around and having lame people walk and the blind see. Jesus said, my works proclaim that I am who I say I am. You know, the Jewish leaders in the final analysis didn't deny the works of Jesus. It's one of the very good points that we have to prove that Jesus was who he said he was, because the Jewish leaders never said, oh, no, the lame aren't walking. They never said that. They never said the blind don't see. They never said the sick aren't healed. What they said was, okay, we'll give you a bone on this one here. Yeah, okay, you healed them, and that's true. However, you're not doing it with the power of God, you're doing it with the power of Satan. And Jesus defended other places in Scripture that a house divided against itself cannot stand. If I'm Satan casting out Satan, that's no good. It doesn't work that way. And so Jesus says, not only does John the Baptist defend that I am who I said I am, the others around me, but my works, the things I do, are obviously done in the power of God and the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, Jesus said, my Father defends my claims. And when first thought on this, you would think, well, how exactly does that happen? But if you begin to pore through the New Testament Gospels, you find that God actually came in voice and actually said, this is my Son. If you remember at the baptism, when John the Baptist came and baptized Jesus, the clouds split themselves open and a voice came out and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Those kinds of things just don't happen every day. Matter of fact, in my lifetime, to my knowledge, unless I wasn't listening, I have never seen the clouds split over to give me a message. Oh, sure, sometimes I see a cloud formation. I think it looks like a cow or a John Deere tractor or something maybe up in the sky. But the reality is the clouds have never split open to validate my claims, but they did for Jesus Christ. And God Himself, it was such a significant moment in the life of Jesus when He was being obedient, the clouds split open and God boomed out with a thunderous voice that people heard and said, this is my beloved Son, in Him I'm well pleased. God came and spoke on behalf of His Son. That happened again in Matthew 17, verse 5. Do you remember when that was? At the mount, when Jesus took some of His disciples up and Jesus was transfigured before them and His garments became pure, perfectly bright and white, and God again. Just read that exactly. Matthew 17:5. God again spoke out loud. And in John 17:5, God said, this is my beloved Son. I take delight in Him. Listen to Him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell face down and they were terrified because God spoke out loud. Jesus said, the Father bears witness that I am who I said I am. I have to imagine that no one else in the history of the universe has had the clouds split open when they were baptized and have God thunder down and say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That was Jesus Christ alone when Jesus was baptized. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, Peter remarking about the Mount of Transfiguration. 2 Peter 1:16, Jesus says that we did not, Peter says, we did not follow cleverly contrived myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Instead, we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For when He received honor and glory from God, the Father, a voice came to Him from the majestic glory and said, this is my beloved Son, I take delight in Him. God spoke out loud, and God said, this is my Son, follow Him. And lastly, Jesus said, the Scriptures point to me. The Scriptures point to me. He said to them, you pore over the Scriptures, but because you think that in them you have eternal life, yet they testify about me. The very Scriptures that you read and memorize, you're missing the point. The Scriptures say I'm coming and I'm telling you that I am here. The prophecies were clear and obvious. It's almost ironic that the Jewish leaders could miss the Messiah when a pagan king was looking at the prophecies and trying to figure out what was happening. And the wise men came to this king and he said, you know, I think there's something to this whole prophecy. You should probably find him. And the wise men go off, find Jesus, and then re-divert away from the king and don't come back. The Jewish leaders missed it while a pagan king, in fear of losing his position on the throne, sends out wise men to find him. The Scriptures were not vague. They just refused to believe. They knew the Scriptures back in front, the Jewish leaders did. They carried little leather packs on their wrists and on their heads called phylacteries. They'd fill them with memorized Scripture. They knew the Scriptures front and back, but when the Messiah stood in front of them, they missed Him. You see, for the Jewish leaders, it was just an intellectual exercise. They didn't know God. Well, they knew all about Him. And they knew where He would come from and what he would say and what he would do, but it was an intellectual exercise. And when he came and stood in front of them, they did not recognize him. Romans 10:2 describes them when Paul is speaking. Romans 10, beginning in verse 1, Paul said, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God concerning them," which is the Jewish people, "is for their salvation. I can testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." They knew the Scriptures forwards and backwards, but they didn't know the God who was contained in them. The final indictment that Jesus makes to them, not only are these four credible claims proof that I am who I say I am, the Scriptures talk about me, my Father said so, the works I've done prove it, and John the Baptist was a prophet that you know was great, he spoke of me. The final indictment Jesus tells them is that you guys are so busy patting each other on the back, you totally miss the work of God. He said, if someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe? While accepting glory from one another, you don't seek the glory that comes from God. He said, you guys are so busy making each other look good and patting each other on the back and talking about everything you know that you totally miss God when He's right in front of you. Is that possible for that to happen in our churches today? Is it possible for someone to come to church and be in the classes and go through the motions and read the Bible and memorize the verse and go through the whole thing as an intellectual exercise and totally miss the relationship with God? I believe it is. The question might be, why do you come to fellowship with the people of God? If it's just to relieve yourself of the moral burden or the guilt that you feel by not being in church, if that's you, and it makes you feel better, you've totally missed it. Church is a place where people come to worship the God they love, serve, and adore. And that was not the Pharisees. Oh, they love the Scriptures. They love to carry them around. They love to read them. They love to cite them. They love to condemn people with them. They just didn't love the God who wrote them. In the final analysis, not only did they reject the witness of the Scripture that they worshipped, but they used the very Scripture they worshipped to crucify the Messiah who came to fulfill it. In the final analysis, they said, well, this man claims to be the Son of God. He's a blasphemer. He must be killed. The Scriptures say so. They rejected His witness and used the law they worshipped to crucify the one who wrote it. Carol Wimmer, I've adapted a poem and made a few adjustments to it. Carol Wimmer wrote, "When I say that I'm a Christian, I'm not shouting I've been saved. I'm saying I was lost and Jesus came to make a way. When I say that I'm a Christian, I don't speak with human pride. I confess that I stumble and need God to be my guide. When I say that I'm a Christian, I'm not trying to be strong. I'm professing that I'm weak and pray for strength to carry on. When I say that I'm a Christian, I'm not bragging of success. I'm admitting that I failed and I could never pay my debt. When I say that I'm a Christian, I don't think I know a lot. I admit that I'm confused sometimes and I ask humbly to be taught. When I say that I'm a Christian, I'm not claiming to have arrived. My flaws are often visible, but God will sanctify. When I say that I'm a Christian, I still feel my sin and pain. I have my share of heartaches, which is why I seek His name. When I say that I am a Christian, I'm not the brightest in this place, but just a person with an appetite for God's amazing grace. When I say that I am a Christian, I know that I'm not perfect, but my faith is just as good as the object of my worship. When I say that I am a Christian, it means I'm working for my Lord. My labor is a joy for me to serve the one that I adore. When I say that I am a Christian, it's not empty words I speak. I'm living out my love for God in word and thought and deed." Jesus has defended Himself from this passage and says, "You accuse me of being an imposter in the Christian faith. You accuse me of being an imposter as Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God." But the reality is, these four witnesses prove that I actually am who I say I am. And the question I think the passage bears for us today is to ask the question, am I who I say I am? When I say that I'm a Christian, is it believable? There are several responses that one can have. for this question. One is, you know, you're right. I'm kind of like the Pharisees. I hang out with the people of God, and I like the scriptures, and I even read them on a regular basis. But the truth is, God for me is not a relationship where I love Him and worship Him and serve Him with joy because He saved me from my sin and relieves me from the guilt of my sin. God for me has just been an intellectual exercise, something that I've just done to feel better. Some might say, no, my answer is not believable because I'm not a Christian. Some might say, you know, I'm a Christian. And I believe that my answer is true, but if I was put on trial today for my faith, there'd be no evidence to convict me at all. Nobody would know the difference. There's nothing in my life that indicates I might be a Christian. I know the Bible says by your fruits you know them, but the truth is, I know I don't have any fruit. Oh, I'm in the vine. I'm saved. I'm in the vine, but I'm just not bearing fruit. And even today, maybe God would convict someone to say, you know, I'm not living the life that I claim to have. One might say my answer is no, it's not believable. Another might say, you know, my answer is yes, but it's not believable because I don't act like a Christian most of the time. And then some might say, you know, hallelujah, by the grace of God, my answer is yes. When I say I'm a Christian, it's believable, and my heart is tuned to sing the praise of God, and I enjoy worship with the people of God. And yes, today, my answer is believable. When you say that you're a Christian, is your answer believable? Let's pray. Father, it would be my heart's prayer this morning that through the power of the Holy Spirit right now, you would help us each to take a look into our own hearts and ask the question, what do I say about myself? And when I say it, is it true? Father, we know that you convict people of sin through the power of the Holy Spirit, and we praise you for that. And Father, I pray this morning, if there would be one who is wrestling in their place before you in the kingdom of God, they would settle that issue this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.